something I saw a couple of days ago. It is a WealthX report. Now, WealthX released their global property handbook in conjunction with the Warburg Realty and Bonds International Realty. They've all worked together on this particular global property handbook. And the report reviews the luxury real estate markets and certainly explores the buying habits of the world's super rich, the wealthy. The report names London, New York, Tokyo as the most desirable cities in the world in which to purchase luxury property, and singles out seven up-and-coming luxury real estate estate markets as well. But Cape Town and Johannesburg have also cracked a mention in this list of top 50 cities. Well, Cape Town coming in at around 37th and Johannesburg at 46th. That's really not bad, but the question then is, what does that do to properties and the property values in Cape Town? If you compare property values in Cape Town and Joburg, what you can get for 2.5 million rand here, you can probably get the price, you could probably get a couple of hundred square meters more for that in Johannesburg as well. So Stephen Dillett, haven't spoken to him for a long time, property expert at REMAX. A very good morning to you, Stephen.
Good morning to you, Kino, and your knowledgeable listeners.
Great having you as always. Now, Stephen, I'm looking at that. I think it was the Cape Times this morning. I'm just trying to find it very quickly. I just popped into my mind right now. Yeah, Gympie Street home for sale, 2.5 million rand. Gympie Street's known, it's synonymous with gangsterism and all the not so lekker things. We're talking about Woodstock here. But that home, prime location, 37 Gympie Street, four-bedroom house in Woodstock, on the market for 2.49. Let's make it 2.5 million rand. What are the factors that drive these price increases?
Well, as you say, with that area, it's going to be a cash buyer who's going to come with money in a little old shopping bag. Mm-hmm. So that area still maintains its cash needs because the banks are very leery on certain areas.
Is it? Because apparently a lot of developers are coming in and wanting to buy up because of the whole gentrification thing.
Yeah, gentrification is a wonderful thing, and we're going to see it more in Woodstock and Hobbs as the demands for property closer to the inner city come about. But right now, it's still at the early stages, so the banks and other people don't want to take risks.
So you're saying the only people then would buy would be people with very deep pockets, developers, because medium to long term they've got plans for that particular area, and it's in their best interest to buy up blocks in order to go ahead with the developments that they're planning.
Precisely. You've seen that in Brooklyn and Rugby with those types of areas with new developments there too. Again, very central to Cape Town.
Now, that would still put the property prices out of reach of, you know, ordinary Cape Townians or South Africans.
It is absolutely frightening now. Kino, in the Atlantic seaboard, the average price for an apartment last year was 5.7 million. The average price for a house sold was 14.8 million. So prices have gotten gigantic on the Atlantic seaboard, and it's driving up prices all over.
What's happened? The Atlantic. What's happening on the foreshore?
The foreshore also is doing very well. There's, you know, in that immediate vicinity are all new buildings. You've got new hotels going up, which also have residential components. You've got the need to be closer to the city where people are Ubering today. I mean, now people don't need a car anymore or even a parking spot. Just app the Uber app and you've got your car.
That's it. And I mean, I did some calculations. CBD, 40 square meter apartment, you're looking at around 30,000 rand a square meter.
Yes, and even higher in some areas.
Gee whiz.
It's, I mean, to find something, a 40 square meter apartment for $1.2 million is difficult.
Yeah.
There are very few properties priced on the Atlantic seaboard in the City Bowl area under $2 million.
Wow. And let's talk about the areas as we move out now. If one looks at areas, one of my favorites, and I know people still frown upon it, but Goodwood, I think, is a wonderful area. And
Goodwood is a great area, and the prices continue to go up. And I just had a client and a friend who was looking to rent a house in Goodwood for 7,800 rands a month, and it went in a moment.
Gee whiz.
So Goodwood is Goodwood, again, is a very central area. Once you're close to the highways, that increases the value of the property. And as one person improves their property, the next person does the same. Okay. But I just wanted to point out about your wealth survey with the 50 cities. What intrigues me is the confidence shown in Cape Town and, in fact, in Johannesburg. They're the only two cities mentioned in Africa, in the African continent. Not only that, Cape Town appears to be, to me, the only resort city mentioned in all 50. By area, there are 12 in the United States, 15 in Europe, 15 in Asia. But most of those are large cities, not what we would consider a resort city. Certainly New York and London and Tokyo are tourist cities, but they're not resort cities where people want to be able to live in, and that's what the Uber are looking for. They're either looking for a business location or they're looking for a place to come to and relax. And keep in mind, we've just had two big buyers in Franschhoek, foreign buyers.
Yep.
And that Singh's bought up a lot of the properties in Franschhoek, and Richard Branson, who bought it, Mount Rochelle guest house.
Oh, he bought the La Rochelle. When did he do that?
He bought that a year ago.
Okay, very interesting.
And I hate to drop names because they're so hard to pick up afterwards, you know? You got to keep picking up the names you drop. The great advantage that we have, and we kind of understate this, is our language. Most people in Cape Town especially will speak English. So it's still a foreign country where you hear different languages. But if you're coming from Europe, and most Europeans who can afford to travel have English as a second or third language, they feel very comfortable here. They never feel lost. They never feel uncomfortable. They feel really good because people speak their language, albeit with an accent, so they feel like they're in a special place. And the other great part about us that we don't talk about is no jet lag. You know, you don't lose a day. You fly down at night or you fly up at night, and you start the next day fresh.
Yep, and you know the thing is our tech infrastructure and the fact that we've got all the comms, we've got the infrastructure. When it comes to tech developments and entrepreneurship, Cape Town's certainly one of the leading cities, if not the leading city or the leading city in Africa. And that certainly helps as well, especially for people playing in the tech space.
We're getting a lot of buyers from the African continent. Keep in mind, people want to diversify their investments. They don't want to keep all of their money in one place or in one country. So they would come here and buy, but they're not going to buy necessarily extravagant homes because they also want to protect themselves like they would in any place they buy, whether it be the U.S., France, or England, or South Africa. They're not going to put any money that they can't afford to not to lose.
Well,
so
exactly.
When they invest, they go with the assumption that if it's all lost, I'm still safe.
What's the entry level in terms of first-time home buyers at the moment? What number are we looking at, generally speaking?
It depends on the area. On the Atlantic seaboard, you're looking at $2.5 million for a one-bedroom. For a two-bedroom, you're looking at $5.8 million on the average. A house, the median price on a house, in other words, half the buyers who bought a house last year paid $9.8 million for it, and half paid more than $9.8
million. Yeah. Tell you what. For those who
It is awesome. I mean, it's frightening to see how much money there is out there that's driving up these prices. And most of it, you know, albeit some of us estate agents like to say that we're selling to foreigners, it's still domestic buyers and buyers from the African continent make up most of our buyers. Although there are areas where buyers from other countries tend to stay in. For example, you'll find in the City Bowl and Camps Bay a lot of Germans because the German school is there. You'll find a lot of English Swans and Dutch in Somerset West. You'll find a lot of English pensioners in Bloberg, Tableview. You'll find some Chinese, a lot of Chinese in the northern suburbs. The key problem that we have is people think just because you buy a property, you get a visa to stay indefinitely in South Africa. That's not the case.
Well, there we go. Stephen Dillett, thank you so much. Property expert at RE/MAX.